Thank you for joining Truth in Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth in Love Jacks, or visit us on the web at truthinlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth in Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth in Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
I wonder how many of us walk around people like that brother who was headed to the temple, that good Samaritan. But before the good Samaritan got there, there was a Levite and there was a priest. The Bible said they went on the other side of the street. And here I want to know how many of us cross around and go around people that need our help and we don't say anything. And it's even worse when people hang around Jesus and then we push people away from Jesus. Oh, it's even worse whenever it is that we're supposed to be the people that build people up and pull people up, and we're the first people to push them out the door. Can I tell you that the enemy is not the one that snatches a lot of people out of the church? Can I tell you that the enemy is not the reason why a lot of people come in the door and walk back out the door? Oh, I'm telling you that it's not just the devil. It's not just the devil. You can't blame everything on the devil. Some of us are mean. Some of us are nasty. Some of us are like these disciples where we say, Lord, send them away. Look at her with her skirt on. Look at her with her dress on. Oh, what he got on. Take that hat off. Oh, what you know, you can't do that. Can't walk that. Can't say that. We got all our rules and we're pushing people away from God. Oh, y'all don't like me, but it's okay. Come on here. Can I tell you, we cannot push people away with how we act in our disposition, but no, we need to learn how to be able to minister to these individuals. But it got worse because these individuals are being very insensitive. I'll come to talk to somebody who's dealing with some insensitive people. Can I give you a word? If you're dealing with insensitive people, let me help you. Toughen up. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. See, y'all wanted me to tell you to turn around three times and give you two scriptures and the Lord was gonna let them go away. No, toughen up. Can I tell you, in this world, there will be opposition. In this world, there will be trouble. It's always gonna be somebody. Come on here. Oh, you go on your journey looking for the perfect church. When you find it, it's not perfect no more. Come on here. Somebody. You go up the road, around the corner, trying to find somebody to get along with. Soon as you find your soulmate, I can't make it without you. I love you, baby. Please, baby, 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 baby. You find her, it's still gonna be some issues. Come on here. We got to learn how to toughen up a little bit. Oh, I heard Elder Leon Campbell say, he said, you tired of people pushing the wrong button, take the buttons off. Come on here, somebody. Take the button off. Come on, they pushed it wrong. You pushed it wrong. Take the button off. Come on here. Get some badger skin. Come on here. Toughen up a little bit. There's always going to be mean people. There's always going to be indifferent people. There's always going to be people that's going to be seclusive. Always going to be people to push you out. Oh, but am I going to let you keep me in a perpetual Bermuda Triangle, act like I don't know who I am and where I'm going and what God is doing? No. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. If God be for me, tell me who can be against me. We got to get some tough skin. Super sensitive saints. That's a triple S. Super sensitive saints. But then when they was, when we say, oh, I heard Cam up here, I'm a G. Yeah, you a G, all right. You gone when somebody hurt your feelings. Not her, but super sensitive saints. We have to learn how to toughen up a little bit. I learn how to get some badger skin. We'll sit there, my God, and I didn't dibble dabble in a whole lot of drugs and a whole lot of stuff like that. I smoked some weed here and there, you know, black and mild cherry, black and mild vanilla. You know, I did the black and mild. I just smoked some weed a couple times. It burnt my chest. I'm trying to figure out what the devil, I'm doing something wrong. Come on, I must be holding on it too long. Or something. This thing's supposed to be feeling like this, you know, and I'm throwing up and all that stuff, and I got hit in the back of my head, so I left the weed alone a little bit here. But anyway, my point is that where we would take stuff from people would talk down us, people would call us out of our name, and we'll keep showing back up again. Come on here, we out there in the streets, we doing our thing, they lie to us, they steal from us, they connive us, they do all this stuff. But then when we come to the house of the Lord, any little thing that happened, all of a sudden
and oh, I just won't even go. Oh, I just don't. But you can sit there and take all that mess from them people that didn't mean you no good. All they wanted was your money. All they wanted was a ride. All they wanted was you to help them and assist them in what they were in. But now you come to the house of God, you just can't handle it. Let me keep going. Verse 24 says, and he answered. Look at Jesus. Verse 24. I'm getting there. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Listen to this story, you all. Listen to this. She comes to Jesus. Yes or yes? Yes. She comes to Jesus. She wants the Lord to help her. Number one, the Lord doesn't answer. He ignores her. I know you think Jesus is, yay, Jesus, yay, Jesus. Jesus, look, no, Jesus got another side of him now. Jesus didn't say anything. Then the disciples were insensitive and said, get away from us, Lord. Then, verse 25, don't miss it. When Jesus finally speaks, he's not even talking to her. He's still ignoring her. He said, I didn't come for her. He said, Lord, send away. He said, I didn't come for her. I came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If this was some of us, what you do when you leave Jesus church? Come on here. If this was some of us, we would have left. I'm going to John the Baptist church. Because John the Baptist, at least he'd give me some camel and some honey or something. Now what you do when you try to leave Jesus? Here, if this would have been some of us, we would have left out of the very presence of the Son of God. But I love this persistent woman of God. Oh, because she taught me something. When the tough get to going, my God, look what she did in verse 25. But she came and knelt before him. And she said, Lord, help me. Good God. Oh, when she was ignored. Oh, when the disciples were rude to her. And when Jesus still not speaking to her, she didn't take her ball and go home. But no, she took the posture of a worshiper. Oh, I'm looking for somebody in here that when you're hurt, when you're offended, when somebody bother you, it's not for you to leave and you to walk away from the things of God. You need to turn into a worshiper, because obviously God is shutting the world out so he can be able to do something in you and through you. Oh, because can I tell you, it doesn't matter what mama do for you, doesn't matter what daddy do for you, doesn't matter what your boo thing do for you, but can't nobody do me like Jesus. Come on here, somebody. Oh, I don't know about you, but there's a time in my life that where God will shut everything and everybody out, and he wants to know, why am I worrying when I can worship? Why am I crying when I could be praising? Why am I complaining when I could be exhorting him? Why am I acting as if he has forgotten about me when I could be spending that time giving him some glory and giving him some honor? So this woman was ignored by Jesus. This woman was treated indifferently by the disciples. Now Jesus still isn't talking to her. So that's what leads me to ask another question. And we blazing, Mama, will you survive being offended? Can you survive being offended? Listen, follow the story. I'm not making none of this up. She came and asked the Lord to help her. What did he say? Absolutely nothing. He said nothing. Then the disciples offended her. Said, send her away. Then Jesus, when he speaks, he's not speaking to her. He started talking to them, to the disciples, as if she's not even in the room. But it gets better. Look at verse 26. And he, being Jesus, it is not right to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dogs. Is that still in your Bible? She needs something. He says, what I have isn't even for you. What you need, I got it. But it's not for you. Come on. I don't care. You can sit here and be Debbie Deep all you want. If you were called a dog, that's going to speak to something to you. But before we get there, know that Jesus is a masterful teacher. Jesus knows what we need. See, he didn't handle everybody the same way. It depends on who he was talking to, the way that he talked to him, the way that he dealt with him. When it was a young rich ruler, he told him, go sell everything you had. When there was a woman caught in adultery, he didn't say anything. He just asked her a question. When there was blind by the man, when it was this person, then he dealt with people for what they need. So obviously, the Lord knew something. The Lord was trying to test her faith. But the problem with this is that he is testing her faith, and she don't know it.
Oh, we read the text and know that Jesus is testing her. We can read the end of the story and know what's going to happen. But the Lord is speaking to something in their culture. He's not racist. He's not calling her a dog. In fact, he's not calling her a mangy, a scavenger type dog. He's calling her a little lap dog, one of those kind of dogs. What's the name of that dog? A Yorkie. He ain't calling her a little Yorkie. One of them ones you got to get the papers for. One of them ones that costs more than your jalopy. Come on here, somebody. One of them dogs. Come on and say, one of them doggone dogs. Come on here. He's not even calling her one of them old mangy scavenger dog, but no, he's calling her a house dog. But be that as it may, this is what the Gentiles were referred to. This is what the Jews called Gentiles. They called them and called them dogs. Oh my God, what am I telling you? Jesus is speaking to the culture. He's speaking to something that's on the inside of her to pull some faith out of her. Oh my God, let me tell you here, because Jesus never compromised anything to be able to make people not be offended. Oh, he went right where he needed to go. He said what he needed to say to be able to push a person to a response. Look what it says here as Jesus is talking to her. And what he says in verse 28, it says, then Jesus answered her, oh woman, great is your faith. My God, he said, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. But even as he's saying this, even as he's talking to her about this, he was in the context of the story in Matthew chapter 15. The Pharisees and the scribes, go read it when you get a chance. They came to him and they wanted him to know, why are your disciples not eating and washing their hands? They're not washing their hands and they're eating. They're not talking about sanitary. They're talking about ceremonial washing. They wanted them to do this and wanted them to do that. And Jesus said, you hypocrite, verse 7. He said, you hypocrite. Oh, you want to worry about what they're doing, but what about what's going on in your heart? Isn't that how church people are? They can tell you what you're supposed to be doing, but they don't know what's going on in their heart. He said, Isaiah spoke well of you, verse 8. He said, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Jesus spoke the truth to them. Jesus said, you're worried about what my disciples are doing. What in the world is going on in your life? You're worried about what my disciples are doing. What about all that junk in your trunk? What about all them skeletons in your closet? What about that dirt under your fingernails? What is that stuff that you are doing and you want to worry about what my disciples are doing? But look at verse 12. I'm making my point. I'm here. I'm right there. Look at verse 12. It said, then the disciples came and said to him, do you know what the Pharisees, he said, do you know that the Pharisees, look what it says, were offended when they heard this saying? You missed it. Jesus told them, you a hypocrite. And the disciples were like, Tom, why you said that? And they came to him and said, Lord, do you know they was offended when you said that? You called them for a hypocrite. Can I tell you? That one sign of a hypocrite is that they will always be offended by the truth. I told you that Jesus said to this woman what she needed, and Jesus said to these Pharisees what they needed. But here, I must always keep myself in a posture that I want to hear the truth. The truth may hurt. The truth may make me cry. The truth may make me check myself. Oh, that's what the word of God, it cuts. Oh, Hebrews 4:12 says that it's a two-edged sword. It cuts and divides. It does what it needs to do. So the word may cut me. Oh, but if I'm a child of the light, I want to be in the light. I want God to expose me. I want God to tell me what I need to do so I can stay right. Look at verse 13, Matthew 15. 13, he answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Oh my God, Jesus said that God didn't plant these plants. This sends a signal talking about the wheat and the tare, because they look the same in the beginning, but after a while when they begin to grow, when you begin to see the fruit, you'll know, oh no, God didn't plant that. There are some people that are not here right now. Oh, that God didn't plant them. The enemy planted them. They're either here for a reason or season or for treason. Can I tell you? Oh, that God didn't plant there, but no, the enemy planted. But whenever the truth comes, oh my God, they'll be rooted up and they'll leave. Stop crying because that joker walked away from you. God allowed that thing to happen. Let's let you see his true colors shining through. Don't stop crying, talking about they ain't call you back. God let that happen so you can see what was in. But some of us so crazy, we see their true colors and we still keep on going. We see how they are and we still keep on walking with them, keep on being with them. But no, God trying to give give you an out. God's trying to let you know that this is not the relationship or the thing that I have for you. Let me tell you this, and I'm gone. Look at this right here. The Bible says that Jesus spoke to these Pharisees and the Sadducees. It wasn't the only time he did this. He told them another time to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and they walked away from him. They left him, never to follow him again. I don't see Jesus running behind them saying, no, come back. I didn't mean it like that. What I meant was, no, the truth always separates. Oh, God, give me my quote here. God will only, he will allow, God will allow you to be offended to show you where you are. Oh, yes, he will. I'm trying to rush. Y'all got me rushing. Lord have mercy. I'm trying to rush so bad. I got the rush. I want y'all to come back next week. Lord have mercy. Can I tell you that God will allow you to be offended to show you where you are? Oh, my God. God knows where I am. He knows what's in my heart. But God will let me be offended to say, there's still a little bit of gangs in me. There's still a little bit of cuss in me. Come on here. Oh, I'm not as saved as I thought I was. Come on here. That thing happened. They stepped on my toe. They said what they need to say. And I went to pulling off my clothes before I knew it. Come on here. Telling them, you don't know where I'm from. You just threw up your sign. You don't even know that's the same sign that you. You must don't know who you're dealing with. Come on here, somebody. Oh, God will let you be offended every now and then to show you you ain't as deep as you think you are. To show you you're not as saved as you think you are. Oh, but God allows us to be offended, not for us just to sit there and be in wallowing in our sin and in our mess, but no, he wants to do something for us. So here, the Lord. Somebody say the Lord. The Lord. The Lord is the culprit. The Lord is the one that ignored her. The disciples, the followers of Christ are the ones that disrespected her. It's the Lord that said, and what I got for you is not for you. It's a matter of priority. Jew first, then Gentile. It's the Lord that said that. So what do you do as we talking about forgiveness? What do you do when the person that you need to forgive is God? Hello, I'm trying to help somebody. See, you thought I was talking about your neighbor still. You thought I was talking about your boo thing still. But no, what do you do when God offends you? What do you do when God didn't come through for you the way that you thought he was going to come through? Some of us, we don't say it audibly that he has offended us. But we show it with our life. Where we begin to back away. Oh, you don't believe me. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were offended by Jesus' actions or his non-actions because they said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Anybody ever been there? Lord, if you would have did what I thought you was going to do, I would not be in this mess. But no, you got to learn how to release that thing even when it's God. That's what Rebecca had to do. Rebecca said, God, how long? But in the end of the book,